If you have your Bible, I want to invite you to stand if you're able to as we read and finish up our time in the book of Philippians. We're going to be reading Philippians chapter 4, starting with verse 10 all the way through to the end. Let's read. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Hey, amen. You can be seated. Thank you, Chris. It is good to see you today. It's always a pleasure to be here back with my Smyrna campus family. What a blessing for me to see John baptized. I think the very first Sunday that John was here was the last time I got to be here, and now to see kind of a full circle moment. Brother, congratulations. What an incredible, incredible thing. Again, my name is Kyle Gowen. I'm the campus pastor at Riverdale, and it is a joy to be back with you. I love being able to be here and be with you and teach the word. What a blessing it is. I want to kind of jump right in, if you don't mind. Hopefully you have your Bibles open to what was just read, or you've got them turned on. If you don't mind, I'm gonna give you maybe a little confession. I don't know if you can handle this or not from one of your pastors. Maybe just a maybe I'll peel the curtain back just a little bit. My wife and I just celebrated in February a big milestone for us. It was 35 years. We've just celebrated 35 years of marriage. Praise the Lord. And man, we are thankful, and man, it's been incredible. We decided that we were gonna take a little journey we've never taken before, do something we've never done before. We were gonna go to a place that we've never been before and do things we've never done before. And we went on a cruise, and we went to the great state of Alaska, and it was incredible. I've never seen that area of the world and that area of the country, and it was beautiful. But something happened to me while I was on that cruise. In fact, it started happening really, really early. Now, remember, I've never done anything like this, never experienced anything like this. If you've been on a cruise, you understand there's food galore. There's stuff coming. You don't like this. You try something else over here. That was all new to me. All right. Well, we get on this cruise and we're probably a day in, and something starts welling up in me, and I start getting a little discontented. You ever been discontented about something? I'm thinking, why am I? Listen, I'm going places I've never been. I'm seeing things I've never seen. I'm doing things I've never done. I'm sitting at dinner one night, and I start, look, I've got a beautiful meal right here in front of me, and I start noticing what Amy's got. I start having those like pregnancy pains again for her, you know? You remember that, guys? Like, I like what she's got. And before long, I started noticing the person over here, at this guy right here at this table, and then a waiter's bringing by something. I started going, why? What is this? The next morning, I get up, and we've got this incredible thing that we're gonna go do. And then I start hearing about things that other people are gonna go do. And I start thinking, well, what I'm gonna do may not be as good as what they're gonna do. I wanna do what they're gonna do. At some point, I had to just kind of set back, get alone. This has probably never happened to you in anything like this. Take whatever it is. I had to set back and just go, Lord, I've never seen anything like this, and now I don't even know what's going on in my own heart. Father, let me be content with where I am and what I'm getting to do. Tell me you've never been there. Oh my goodness, it happens to all of us. And what I began to realize is that contentment, or discontentment, I should say, but being content and the discontentment that begins to arise, it has nothing really to do with what you're getting to do and where you're going and how much you have and what you're eating and what you're doing. Do you realize that whether you or not you are content or discontent is all an inside job? It's all about the heart. It's all about the heart. I see some of you shaking your heads because you've probably experienced this. When we become discontent, and usually that happens when we get our eyes off of what we've been blessed with and we start looking around at what everybody else has and what they're all doing and what we're not doing, we begin to become restless with what it is that we've been given. And oftentimes what begins to happen is we begin to spend dollars and bills and writing checks and cutting credit cards on trinkets and toys that in a month they're going to leave us empty and they're going to be tarnished and leave us empty to begin with. You see, it's never about what you have, and it's really not about what you don't have. It's about your identity and whose you are. Not what you have, but in who you are and whose you are. When we get that settled, when we begin to get that settled, and I like what Michael said, as we begin to remind ourselves of some truths from the scripture, these things, I'm not going to say they go away. I'm not going to say they go, this thing, we don't continue to battle with it, but we're able to go back quicker to really begin to figure out how do we take care of this? In fact, how do we fight discontentment? Really, let me phrase that question a different way. Not how do we fight discontentment, but how do we let contentment in who we are and whose we are well up within us? How did we get to where we are today? Here we are. We are in week 8. We're ending this series called Live Free. How did we get here? Well, we started in chapter 1, verse 1. Just be real honest with you. I'm not going to rehearse the whole thing, but the big issue in this whole book is about rejoicing. And we've talked about living free, and living free is only found in Christ. That's the title of this message today. Living free is only found in Christ. And so how do we live free? Well, we have to remember who we are and whose we are. We have to remember that. And as Paul works through this entire book, there's only 104 verses in this little letter. Over 20% of the verses that are in this book are all about our identity in Christ. Phrases like, hopefully you've seen them, in Christ, in Jesus, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul is wanting his church that he loves to remember who you are, who they are, and he's wanting us to root our identity, because when our identity is not fixed, it's not a fixed point, we get our eyes off of who Christ is and who I am, and we start looking around and we become discontented, because what we begin to realize or we begin to think is that what I have is never enough. And you're going to try to fix that discontentment by running off necessarily. And you're going to try to experience it in images and drinks and drug and multiple partners. You're going to try to experience it in work. You're going to try to experience it in earning more. All of these types of things. And you know what's going to end up happening? You're going to get down the road of your discontentment and you're going to wake up and go, it still hasn't fixed what I'm trying to solve, and it never will. I want to make sure that you hear me. Some of you today, you're sitting in a mound of debt because you thought, if I got the next thing, it doesn't work. It never will. It never will. So if we're rooted in Christ, our identity, we're united with him, and everything that we need is found in him. And I think if you're a follower of Jesus Christ today, and I want to be real honest with you, I'm speaking to mostly believers in here today. There are implications for those of you who don't follow Christ. And we're going to talk about those in a moment. But it's very important for those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ to get this. so that we can begin to practice this, so that we can remember and rehearse, so that when we begin to sense that discontentment, we can run back to where true contentment is found, only in Christ. And that's only where we'll find true freedom. If you've got your Bibles, I want to look at this with you, and I want to take just a few moments. I've got three things that I want to tell you, point out to you from this passage. There's a lot of other things I could point out, but quickly, I want to point out three things really quickly. Here's the first one. How do we find and keep contentment in Christ so that we're living free? Number one is this, is that we have to carry a concern for the kingdom of God. You and I have to begin to carry a concern for the kingdom of God. Not just live in it, but we're carrying it with us. Look at what verse 10 says. Paul starts out this section by saying, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Paul right here is telling them the exact same thing about, he's saying about himself what he told them in verse 4. Look back at verse 4. It's not going to be on the screen. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. We talked about this last week. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And now he's saying what I've told you I'm doing in verse 10. He says, listen, I rejoiced in the Lord. I rejoiced in the Lord that your concern, the word concern here is a word in the Greek language that it means thoughts and thinking. And all throughout this book, he's been using this same word in different locations. He's talked about the mind of Christ, remembering in Christ. He talks about rejoicing. Did you realize that to rejoice is not dependent on your emotions? Rejoicing in the Lord means that I'm recalling in the Lord all the reasons that I have to have joy. God, you saved me when I was an enemy of yours. God, you blessed me with things beyond anything I could imagine. God, everything that I have is yours. God, the relationship that was broken, you repaired. God, the addiction I was involved in, you saved me from. God, the financial situation that I didn't think was going to be resolved, you brought it. And in the middle of that, remembering all that God has done, boy, doesn't joy begin to well up in you? Begins to well up, and you're rejoicing in him. You see what you're doing right there? You are remembering. You are turning your concern back to the Lord. And he says here, listen, Philippian church, I love you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly when your concern was renewed. And he goes on and he says, not that you didn't always have concern for me. You have, but you didn't have opportunity. The opportunity that he's talking about right here is that Epaphroditus, his friend, the one who we talked about a few weeks ago that was sick almost unto death, Epaphroditus, he volunteered somewhere along the way to say, hey, listen, I'll take the offering. I'll take the money to Paul in Rome. I'll make the 3-month journey. I'll do that. And Paul says, listen, I saw him coming and I began to rejoice. I know this man and your concern, your thoughts for me, they've now been acted upon. They've been acted upon. Listen, I know that you took up offerings for me. Obviously, Epaphroditus has told me from the very beginning of my time, you've taken up offering, but nobody would bring them. And now Epaphroditus has done that. Your concern, your thinking of me was now then acted upon because there was someone who would actually bring your thoughts, your tangible thoughts lived out in offerings to me. You see, their thoughts turn to action. Their thoughts turn to action. Folks, listen, for you and I, our concerns, the concerns of our world, the concerns of your world, the concerns of the day. Do you realize the scripture talks about the kingdom of man and the kingdom of God, and where your concerns are and how you act on those concerns will let everyone know whose concerns you carry. If our minds and our concerns are constantly motivated by the kingdom of God, you know what we'll do? We'll live and act out for the kingdom of God. If our thoughts and our concerns are motivated primarily by the thoughts and the concerns of the kingdom, then we will live out the actions towards the kingdom of God. Now, there's no way around it. You and I live in the kingdom of man. We have to work, we have to eat, we have to pay rent, all of those things. But do you remember what Paul said a couple of weeks ago? He says, everything that I've done, everything that I'm about today is for one thing. It's about forgetting what's behind, and I'm pressing forward and I'm straining forward for the prize that is before me. In the world that you and I live, with all of the things that you and I have to walk in, we can't get away from the concerns of the world, can we? There are things that we have to do, but ultimately, if we're going to live out and carry the concerns of the kingdom, that means that we have to begin to focus our minds and orientate everything that we do in the kingdom of man toward the concerns of the kingdom of God. This is what he begins to point us towards. Look at verse 14, if you will. In verse 14, in fact, I'm going to read through verse 17, if you don't mind. He says, "Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble." The trouble that he's talking about here is his imprisonment. He says, "Yet it was kind of you to share in my trouble, and you, the Philippians, you yourself know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, your gift that you're sending, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit." In Acts chapter 16, when you read about Paul, Silas, and Timothy, walking into Philippi, when he goes there in Acts chapter 16, we're now about 15 years later with the writing of this book. When he goes from Asia Minor to Europe, the entire European church planting movement begins right there. Do you realize that we, in some respects, are a byproduct of that European church planting movement? All because he says, listen, you guys, when I came, you were very concerned about me. You were concerned about the team. In fact, you've been concerned about me from the very beginning of the gospel. And the gospel, what he means by there is, from the day that I rolled into town with my partners, you were concerned about me. When Lydia came to know Christ as Savior, when she submitted her life and that house church began, you became concerned. Listen, things began to change when Paul and Silas and Timothy rolled in. As they began to preach the gospel, their concern for the kingdom, as they began to preach that gospel, as they began to show it, lives and hearts began to be transformed in Philippi. No longer were they worried, this little fledgling church, no longer were they worried about the Roman gods and the Roman idols. No longer did they worship Caesar. No longer did they worship Philip of Macedon. No longer did they keep going to the temple of Aphrodite, the fertility god. You see, their concerns begin to change as Paul and Timothy and Silas walked with them, lived with them for 3 months, and just discipled them. And you know what Paul says here? Paul thanks them. He says, I'm thankful that your concern's been renewed. I'm thankful that you sent someone. I'm thankful that now you've come. Thank you for your gift. And I want you to know what your gift has done. It's caused me to rejoice in the Lord. It's caused me to remember you. It's caused me to remember when I first came to you. So here's the question that I want to ask for you and I in this is, how do we increase our concern for the things of God and his kingdom? If increasing our concern for the kingdom helps us to overcome discontentment and points us towards contentment, how do we do that? Number one, we have to ask the Holy Spirit to do in our lives what only he can do. Only the Holy Spirit can give us new desires. When Jesus Christ resurrected, he died on the cross, he resurrected, he ascended back to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in our day and time, here in the 21st century, somehow, some way, he has moved upon your life, he's opened your eyes, and he placed faith in you so that you would respond to the gospel. And today, I think someone's going to respond to the gospel, the good news of Christ. The concerns that you once had are going to change because today you're going to have the concerns of God, the concerns of the kingdom. When he put that in you, the only way that we know that you have been saved is that you respond, you step out. You remember in James chapter 2, James is arguing with this Jewish church, and he says, listen, some of you say that you have faith, but you have no works. Some of you say, I have works, but I have no faith. You realize that faith and works are the two sides of the same coin. The way that we know that you have faith is that you work. And the way that we know that when you work, and we know that it's not just all on you, it's on Jesus, because you confess Christ. Listen, that is the same thing right here. To have the concerns of Jesus and the kingdom, it's not enough just to say I'm concerned. What Paul says is the way that I knew you were concerned and the way that I greatly rejoiced was that you and I, that I saw you act on that concern and you sent someone. So we're going to have the Holy Spirit change our concerns. Lord, maybe you're concerned in here today about finances. Maybe you're concerned about your retirement. Maybe you're concerned about a medical situation you're walking in. Maybe you're concerned about a relationship that feels like it's going south and it's going south quickly. I want you to hold on to that right there. So we're going to have him change that. Look at verse 17. In verse 17, Paul says, listen, I'm not just concerned about the gift that you sent. I'm concerned about the fruit that's going to increase to your credit. Did you realize that that acting out your faith, what it does is it demonstrates to the world around who you follow. And when you act out and walk out the concern of the kingdom in your life, did you realize that that the Lord is pleased with that? He's pleased with that. In fact, in Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 6 again in a few minutes, but in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, his greatest sermon, he said this, specifically about our treasures that are here, whatever those are, your finances, your homes. He says, listen, don't store up on earth treasures where moth and rust can destroy. He says, you put it into kingdom action, so that it is stored in heaven where it can never be tarnished or never touched to your credit. Now, I want to make sure that you catch me. You can't give enough to earn credit with the Lord. You realize that, don't you? The only credit that is due our account is the death of Jesus Christ on the cross that paid. Our only righteousness is in the merit of Jesus. But when Christ changes us, our thinking and our concern then begins to live out the concern of Christ. And as we live that out, the Lord is pleased. You're showing your concern isn't with the world, but with the things of the Lord. Listen, when we leverage our lives for the kingdom concern, when we leverage our lives for kingdom concern, when we act on those concerns, discontentment will begin to die in your life. Discontentment will begin to die. Now, I don't think it will ever be completely gone, because as long as we walk on this earth, we're in this old body of flesh, it just is. But we have to continue to fight the battle. Lord, I want to be more concerned with your kingdom than this world. I need you more than this world. How do we do that? Well, we encourage you to continue to gather each week. You hear us talk about gathering every week. Gathering with this body, gathering with a group of people. Do you realize that that gathering helps you to be rooted in who you are and your identity in Christ? We remind one another. We encourage you to grow in the Word, to stay in the Word. And then we encourage you to do what Epaphroditus did. Did you realize that Epaphroditus, he acted on his concern. He acted on the concerns of the church. He got involved in mission. He went on behalf of the church. And today, some of you are being called to go on behalf of this church. Go on a mission trip. Go to your workplace. Go across the street. The Lord is calling some of you today, I believe, to surrender your life to the gospel and to go. The kingdom of God is that important. The kingdom of God is that important. So how do we fight discontentment? How do we make sure that we are leveraging our life for the gospel? One is that we carry a concern for the kingdom. Here's the second thing that I want you to see quickly is that we have to cultivate contentment in Christ. We have to cultivate our contentment in Christ. Look at verse 11 and 12. Verse 11 and 12 says this. Paul's writing to them. I wish he had a really linear argument here. He's bouncing back and forth between this passage. So we're going to go back to 11 here. He says, not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation, catch this, whatever situation I am to be content. Verse 12, I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. In verse 11 there, Paul tells the Philippians that, listen, I'm not worried about being in need. You know why I'm not worried about being in need? Because I am content in any situation in which I might find myself. I'm going to ask you to write down a reference that I'd love for you to go back and look at later on today. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says this in reference to these things. He's written Philippians about 10 years after he wrote 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians, here's what he says. He says, listen, you want to know about hardship? He says, I've been shipwrecked 3 different times. I spent a day and a night in the open sea. I've been beaten, I've been stoned and left for dead. He says that he's been in prison twice. He's been in hostile lands. He's been in fear for his life. He's been hungry, he's been thirsty, he's been naked. He says, I carry the concern of the churches. He's told us in Philippians, Epaphroditus almost died and it wore me out. I'm glad that he's coming back to you. On top of all of that, I have a thorn in my flesh. And now Paul tells us in chapter 4, here to the end of the book, he says, listen, but I'm content. How is it that a guy who has gone through all that, how is it that he's in content? You know why he's content? Because he knows who he is in Christ and all that he has available to him in Christ. He has been united in Christ, and each and every time Christ has cared for him. Do you know that sometimes our discontentment, we don't get to see Christ move because we move from discontentment to discontentment to discontentment. This didn't work, I'm gonna try this. This didn't work, I'm gonna try this. Folks, do you realize that today, some of you, the Lord has brought you here today so that you can hear him say this to you. Stop. Stop. Stop running, quit. Stop trying something new. Settle and let me cultivate my contentment in you. Let me cultivate my contentment in you. Notice what Paul says here. Paul says in this section, he says, I've known what it means to have a lot or have little. I've known what it means to be hungry. I've known what it means to be needy. And then he says in verse 12, he says this, and I've learned the secret. Listen, when he says that, everyone ought to be leaning in and going, please tell me the secret. What's the secret? What's the secret to being content in any situation? What is the secret? He tells us in verse 13. Look at what he says. In verse 13, he says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Folks, I want to, this a little Bible study method here. This is a verse that we like to pull out and say, listen, I can leap buildings in a single bound. I can run fast. I can do this. I can do this. And why can I do this? Why can I do the impossible? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you know what this verse is about? It's about you sitting in the situation that you're in today that you don't think you're going to be able to handle. It's about being in need. It's about being in want. It's about thinking my medical situation, my financial situation. I'm looking right now. I'm discontented and I'm looking for some way to bring peace and healing, and I'm looking for something. And you know what Paul says? Paul says, you need, listen, settle right there. Hold on. Do you know why I'm content, Philippians? Because I've learned that in Christ Jesus, in every situation, hunger, need, famine, nakedness, being stoned and beaten and left for dead. On a road, blinded by the Lord, I have now a thorn in my flesh. Do you know why I can be content? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me right where I am today. This is a word for someone sitting in here today, probably for many of us sitting in here today. you and I, if we wait on the Lord, if we wait on Him, contentment from Him. For many of us in here, we need to go back and just remember the last time we were in need and how He moved. You ever had a situation where you didn't know how the next bill was going to be paid, and somewhere, some law, somehow, some way, a check comes in the mail? You're down, you're out, you're thinking I'm defeated, and an encouragement letter comes. Somebody shoots you a text. You've gone and you've gotten the worst news of your life, and somebody is there to put their arm around you and walk with you. Do you realize that all of those are a gift of the Lord to you? They're gifts of the Lord to us to say, I know where you are, and listen, what you're running around trying to fix, I want to sit with you in the middle of it right now, and I will be sufficient for you. Listen, when we begin to cultivate contentment in ourselves, and let me rephrase that. We don't cultivate contentment in ourselves. It's the Holy Spirit who resides within us that does that. As we begin to sit and let Him move. Matthew chapter 6, I referred to it a moment ago. Jesus is teaching His most famous message, and He tells them to a crowd of thousands sitting on a hillside. He says, listen, many of you, you're worried about what you're going to eat. You're worried about where you're going to sleep. You're worried about what you're going to wear. Listen, did you realize that the birds of the air, they don't even have a place to call home, and yet the Lord cares for them? And you're much more valuable than these birds. He says, listen, look at the flowers of the field, how beautiful they're adorned, how beautiful they're adorned. And they don't worry, they don't work, He provides. You see, He's addressing the people's concerns, and He lifts them up, and He says, listen, look, you're kingdom people. You need to be concerned with kingdom things. In fact, what you're running around, I want you to know the Heavenly Father, He knows, and He's already caring for you in this matter. He has a way that has been provided for you. He may not solve every issue, but He will sit with you and walk with you in it. Did you realize that the situation that you're in today, the situation that you sit in today, it will serve as the soil to teach you contentment in Christ? Because He's wanting to cultivate that in you. Believer in here, it only comes from knowing who we are in Christ, united with Him. He will not leave you. Single mom, single dad in here who thinks, and it's a real deal, I'm up to here, I'm not gonna make it. You can. You can. You can find contentment in Him, and He will lead you. He'll bring people around you. Senior adult in here who is facing medical situations that it feels like this is it. And you may be getting down and depressed because your family has moved away. Can I tell you, He's given you a new family? And you can make it. Parents in here who have a wayward child, and you're growing discontent with the Lord. Lord, I'm praying, they're not coming, they're not coming, they're not returning. Can I tell you that where you are right now, if you will wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord. Begin to find contentment in Him. Listen, our contentment will begin to grow, and it'll begin to sustain us as He reminds us about all the times that He's already sustained us. Can I tell you that the Heavenly Father will not leave His children alone? And if you are a child of His, He's asking us to turn our concerns, our minds, our thinking to Him. Let Him be our all in all in the thing in which we sit, and He will surround us. Here's the last thing quickly. Not only do we carry a concern for the kingdom, but we cultivate contentment. And lastly, we count on God's provision. We count on God's provision. He says in verse 18, to the Philippians, he says, I've received full payment and more. I'm well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, and they are a fragrant offering, a sacrifice that it is acceptable and pleasing to God. Paul says, listen, what Epaphroditus brought, it's been more than enough. In fact, the gift was wonderful, but seeing him was better. Hearing that you love me, you've not forgotten me, you've been with me since day one. In fact, it causes me to remember that when I left Philippi, when we left and went to Thessalonica and we had no support, no help, you sent people to help me. You sent offerings. Yeah, I am rejoicing in the Lord as I remember all that you've done. All that you've done. Only God could have done that for us. And I want you to know that what you've given to me is a fragrant offering to the Lord. It's pleasing to him. Not only is your gift to me a pleasing offering to him, listen, in giving to me, it was an offering to him. Listen, you and I, can I go back for a few minutes? Oftentimes in my discontentment, I want to begin to hoard everything that I have. You ever been like that? You feel like the Lord wants you to give your time, your talent, your abilities, your finances, and you're thinking, Lord, I really need this. There's a situation over here. Lord, I don't have time. Lord, my ability, listen, I don't know if it'll measure up. Lord, I don't know if I know enough. Lord, I don't know if I can do that. Lord, you want me to give? I'm already giving. What, I mean, you want more? It reminds me of the child, maybe your child, that you take to a store to purchase something, and they have no money. They're the little child. They have no money. They have no job, no nothing. And they want a piece of candy. They want something. They want a toy. And you decide you're going to allow them to have that. And you give them the money to then to turn around and pay for it. And they walk away thinking, look what I've done. I've paid for something. Who actually paid for that? Daddy. Folks, you realize that we spend so much time being discontented and concerned about all kinds of things in the kingdom of man, and we're concerned thinking out of a scarcity mentality, I don't have time, I don't have ability, I don't have finances, when the God who supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory, the job that you have, you know where it came from? God gave it to you. You know, the money that you use to pay the mortgage or pay the rent, you know where it came from? God gave it to you. You see, we begin to think that this is what we're doing because we live in the kingdom of man, and look what I have, and Lord, I don't have the time, the ability, or the finances to do this. And the Lord is saying, hey, wait a minute. All that you have has come from me. I'm endless resource. I'm endless resource. I live in eternity. I have all the time that you need. I'll help you rearrange your time. I'll help you conserve your time. I'll help rearrange the finances so that you can give. I'll help rearrange. Listen, you don't think you're good enough? Listen, I'll give you ability beyond all that you have for the moment that I've called you. And what we do is we begin to think and we become discontented because we begin to live out of our own resources. When Paul says, listen, notice what he says in verse 19. Verse 19, he says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory. Can we sit on that for just a moment? Wherever you are in your discontentment, and listen, all of us are discontented at some level. Did you realize the only way to get out of that is to begin to focus our mind and remind ourselves of who God is and who we are in him, that our identity is rooted in him, and he will supply everything that you need in the moment that you need it to accomplish exactly what he's called you to do. And it's not really costing you because he's the one that gave you everything that you have. And he says that if you will just abide in me, I'm going to give you everything that's needed for my work. Not Kyle's work, but for his work. He does that. And you know what that allows me to be able to do? To sit back and go, Lord, it's all yours anyway. My time, my abilities, if I have talents, they're yours. They're your finances. And so, Lord, you do with them as you please. Now, sounds easy, huh? No, it's extremely difficult. That's why we come back and we have to get before the Lord and say, Lord, I need you. I need your concerns. Holy Spirit, I can't do this if you don't change my heart. Lord, if you don't give me your concerns, if you don't let me see your concerns, but when he gives them to you and he points them out, you know what he calls us to do? We have to act. Okay, Lord, I'm going to face you in this moment. Students in this room, he's going to put you in a situation here in just a few weeks. You're stepping back into a school system. You're headed to school, you got to work, whatever it is. And your concerns quickly are going to be drawn to the things that are around you. And he's calling you to have his concerns, have his eyes, and to step when he's called you to step. This is where we land today. This is what Paul has brought us to. This is where Paul has us so that we begin to understand who I am is in Jesus Christ. He has saved me. I have everything I need in him. And when I have everything that I need in him, and when my concerns are focused on the kingdom, I'm truly able to live free. Free. Free from the cares of the world. Listen, I get to live rent-free because Daddy's supplying everything I need according to his riches in glory. But you and I have to stop and settle and be content. Not with your possessions, but in your position in Christ. You are his child. He's not going to leave you. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for the privilege that you've given us. Father, I thank you for your word. And God, I pray that today your word would bear fruit. You've promised that when it goes out, it will accomplish all that you've sent it forth to do, just like the rain does. And so today, I'm asking you, would you, by the power of your Spirit, work in the lives of your people? God, I want to ask that you save people today. Lord Jesus, we magnify only you today. Help us to find our contentment in you alone. And it's in the name of Jesus I ask these things today. Amen.